I'm going to go ahead and put the agenda in IRC. Dave Longley, can you scribe for us today?
Sure.
Great, thanks. All right, our agenda is here. Thank you, those of you that have not attended one of these calls for joining us today. We know your time is incredibly valuable and important, so we're going to try and answer whatever questions you may have and then end the call early if we can. The purpose of this call is just, it's a briefing call on the verifiable claims work. So the idea here is to kind of try and introduce each of you to the work that a variety of people have been doing over the past year and a half, 2 years, and try to answer any questions that you may have on that work. This is in preparation for one-on-one interviews that we're hoping to do with each of you. So the idea here is that we have identified a number of experts that we would really like to get feedback from before we propose that W3C do anything, if they do anything. And we wanted to get your thoughts on the initiative down in some kind of official capacity. So that includes recorded audio of your thoughts on the topic, and it also includes, you know, minutes on what you have to say. So let's go ahead and start off with a bit of background here. The Verifiable Claims Task Force page is here for those of you that have not seen it. And it was just updated this morning with the benefits for stakeholders section and things of that nature. So the purpose of the work that we're trying to do here is to see if there is a need for a user-centric standard for expressing and transacting verifiable claims. So people have called these credentials or attestations in the past. This proposal right now, at least the way the problem statement is written, focuses on a user-centric system versus what we're calling service-centric systems like OpenID Connect and SAML. And we're just basically trying to identify what problems exist today and whether or not a user-centric approach would be a good way of addressing those problems. Okay, so in general, that's what we're trying to do. We've identified a problem statement that has a pretty broad bind with the people that have been participating in the work, but the whole point over the next month is to reach out to folks like Brad Hill and Descartes and David Singer and, you know, folks and Drummond, that folks that have not been participating directly in the work, to see what they think. The type of feedback that we're looking for is anything from we think this is a terrible idea, don't do it, to we think that there are some concepts in here that are worth pursuing and other concepts that you really shouldn't touch. Two, we agree in general with the direction and we'd like to see something happening in a more official capacity at W3C. So this is, you know, where we are today is kind of the culmination of work that's been happening over 4+ years. Mm-hmm. With user-centric credentials, and clearly this whole, you know, ecosystem has been, we've been trying to quote-unquote solve some of these problems for 15+ years, some would argue even longer. So the group that has been putting this stuff together over the last 2 years specifically is called the Credentials Community Group at W3C. And there are a set of technical proposals and things associated with that group, but the Verifiable Claims group is taking a higher level view of the problem. So this is a 30,000 foot view of the problem. It doesn't presume any technical solutions or specific technological solutions. All we're trying to do here is focus on the problem statement and see if we got the problem statement right. Okay. Any questions on the background of the verifiable claims work for those that are new to the call? Okay, if there's no questions on the background, let's take a look at the problem statement. Try and get this here. All right. And then, yeah, we'll have to get back to Brad and say, this will be recorded, so hopefully he'll be able to listen to this after the fact. Okay, so the problem statement we have is right here. This has, again, fairly decent buy-in from those that have been involved in this work. There is a survey that we had sent out, and we got, I think, somewhere along 44 organizations to respond to the survey, and we have anonymized responses to the survey here. So those are the organizations that have participated and the ones that have put together, you know, this problem statement. We have at least, you know, 25 to 30 organizations participating on a fairly regular basis in these calls over the past year plus. So, you know, we've stated a problem statement. We've talked about scope on this page. And the question to those that we're going to be doing interviews with, you know, this is, you know, David Singer and Drummond Reed and Brad Hill and Dick Hart. The question to them is, do you agree with the problem statement? Is there, are we stating the problem statement correctly? Have people tried to work on this problem and failed miserably in the past? You know, is this a good direction for the internet and the web? Again, we're just trying to collect your thoughts on, you know, whether it's a good problem statement, whether we should proceed, things of that nature. Any questions on problem statement or scope from anyone that's on the call or the type of feedback that we're looking for? Okay.
Can you give a link to the problem? I lost the link to the problem statement.
Sure, here's the link to the problem statement in the IRC window.
Thanks.
Andrew, this is Drummond. One thing that would help me, and we've talked about this once before, but it might help others on the call, is maybe just a little clarification on the problem statement characterizes, you know, OpenID Connect specifically as service-centric. And, you know, having been part of that, you know, the term user-centric is baked into what they've talked about for a long time. So it would help, maybe could you just crystallize what it is that you think makes that a server-centric design?
Sure. So there's another link that I'm going to put in IRC that links to the definitions on what we mean by user-centric and service-centric. And apologies to those that are new to the our terminology. We realize that this whole area is rife with overloaded terminology, and, you know, words like user-centric have changed definition throughout time. So we list, you know, definitions in here, and we talk about user centrism as, you know, a system that places people and organizations in the center of an ecosystem. And we also link to a set of ramifications of what happens when you describe a design, when you describe a system as, or when you design one of these systems as a user-centric system, it has a number of outcomes versus designing the system in a service-centric approach. So we have, I'm putting another link in IRC where we describe the differences between a user-centric system and a service-centric system. So the hope is that, you know, before we do our interviews with you, that you take a read through the differences here. So to answer your question more directly, Drummond, we are, based on the definition that we have on the page, we are describing OpenID Connect as a service-centric ecosystem, particularly because, you know, the service is kind of in the middle. The service is the one that tends to issue verifiable claims about a particular entity. Identities or identifiers themselves, like the identifier for the person themselves, are not portable, meaning that they tend to be locked into whoever your identity provider is, using OpenID definitions. So they tend to be locked into a particular identity provider versus portable and owned by the person themselves. So these are just a number of the differences between service-centric, and we identify OpenID Connect as service-centric, and something that's a bit more user-centric, which you know, folks like Dick Hart have been talking about for many years now. So Drummond is pointing out that, you know, that these identifiers are not portable, being a huge point. That is one of the big differences between what we're calling a user-centric system, which has portable identifiers, versus a service-centric system, which does not typically have portable identifiers. So hopefully that makes sense. David Singer asked a question in IRC, why is it a priori user-centric? We needed, in order to have a good conversation around what we're attempting to do, I think the group decided that we need to put a stake in the ground about what we're talking about and how what we're talking about here is different from the previous attempts at addressing verifiable claims. So, for example, what makes what we're proposing in this task force different from, for example, LDAP or SAML or OpenID Connect. So that's kind of the differences between OpenID Connect and what we're doing. Did that answer your question?
Not really, because it doesn't say why it's part of the problem statement, but I agree. Coming up with a good solution involves analyzing why existing solutions haven't got enough traction, and coming up with a solution that avoids those problems. But that's designing the solution. I'm just still puzzled why user-centric is part of a problem statement.
The easy answer is this: that's the way the group decided to word the problem statement. The intention is to look at service-centric and user-centric designs. I think the fundamental thesis of the group is that service-centric systems exist. There are multiple types of service-centric systems. So, you know, LDAP, SAML, OpenID Connect, login with, you know, and pick your super provider. Those exist. So saying that we're going to create another one of those, or we're going to try and address that problem, seemed like a non-starter, because those systems exist. They address the problem that they were intended to address. And so people would argue that that's not, you know, solving that problem is not really, it's a non-problem, right? Versus user-centric systems, not really seeing any examples of user-centric systems other than, for example, driver's licenses and passports, things that we actually hold on to, right? So we have these verifiable claims called driver's licenses and passports, and we hold on to them. They're all, you know, we put them in our wallets. We're in control of them. So that's an example of, we're basically saying those user-centric systems are the ways that we deal with a lot of verifiable claims today in the real world, in the physical world. The problem is that we have not been able to translate that to the web and the internet. And so the question is, why haven't we been able to do that? And thus the user-centric, you know, language kind of comes into the problem statement. I don't know if that is a Did that help at all explain at least why we're talking about user centrism in the problem statement, or did that just muddy the waters? And you might be muted.
Sorry, yes, I was muted. Yeah, that's good enough for now. We can take it further when we talk.
Okay, and if you disagree vehemently with that approach, please state that. And you know, when we start talking about the problem statement, please state it clearly. Say, you know, I don't believe that user-centric is the proper way to go, or you should take it out of the problem statement, or suggest a reword. Again, this is a conversation. We're not saying, you know, blanket approve the problem statement. If you have issues with it, please raise them so that we can discuss them.
One thing I was going to add to it, which sort of piggybacks on to what you were saying about not having these types of credentials in the physical world, but not having some kind of technology where they translate it into the digital world. We go about our lives building up these sort of physical identities that people are aware of, and we have certain credentials that we carry on our person that kind of belong to us, that kind of describe different aspects of our lives. And that has not translated very well to something on the web. It hasn't been easy for us to create rich digital identities where we hold on to credentials sort of in our wallet and things that we can carry from place to place and give out to different consumers, where the relationship between us and our wallet is really not that important. We could swap out our wallet, you know, use a different wallet whenever we want, use some other kind of container to hold on to our credentials, and the emphasis is on the relationship between us and the consumer and the issuer of these credentials, versus some other kind of relationship. So there's this whole aspect of our lives in the physical world that has not yet translated very well to the digital world. And a lot of that has to do with user-centric design, and that's why that's part of the problem statement.
Sorry, I'm scribing. Okay, great. So that seems to be resonating with folks. Okay, so let's, you know, going back, you know, to the problem statement and the scope, is there any question or concerns about the problem statement or scope? Do folks feel that, you know, that's a good area to focus on, at least when we do these interviews, asking people about the problem statement and the scope primarily? Okay, and Drummond is saying yes, that's a great subject for the interviews. Dick is saying there are other models. And, you know, we definitely want to hear about those other models from Dick and whether he thinks that they are, which one is the, is one that's worth pursuing, right? I mean, so I think we're certainly not saying, there should be a pure solution. We're saying probably the solution is going to be a hybrid of something. The question is, you know, the question first is, should we even attempt to address this problem? Does everyone agree that this is a problem? And then if we agree that there's a problem, then we can get some general guidelines as to how we think we should go about solving that problem that don't fall into the traps that, you know, we've typically fallen into in the past. Okay. All right, so next up, there's a lot of other information on that page. I suggest that, you know, before your interview, you please go and read everything on the page, because everything that we have on that page is stuff that we have discussed and we have consensus around, at least with the 20-plus organizations that are actively participating in the work. That does not mean that it is set in stone. Again, the reason for the interviews is so that people can challenge those and we can change them based on your input. Okay, so the next topic up are the key questions that we could ask. So let me provide a link to that. So we've got this list of open questions that have been identified as a starting point. And the questions are things like, and these are interview questions. So if you don't have the time to, you know, read through and formulate your, you know, own response, we do have a set of questions that we can ask you, such as, you know, why does this problem, if we agree on the problem statement, why does this problem exist today? Why do the current technologies that exist not address it? Should we try and attempt to solve the verifiable claims problem as, using a service-centric approach or a user-centric approach or some hybrid? Should there be a standard way of just expressing the claims? So forget user-centric versus server-centric. What about data formats, right? So what should there be a standard data format at least? How are verifiable claims issued? How should they be stored? How do you request these credentials and claims? Like, what's the protocol? How are claims revoked? Does the browser have a part to play in this process? How do you port credential, you know, verifiable claims from one storage provider to the next? What are the privacy concerns and implications? These are all, you know, general questions that we hope that folks can provide some input on. Okay. The other point to make about these, you know, open questions, is that, you know, these are just suggestions. If in your interview you think you want to focus on something entirely different, please feel free to do it. They're just kind of there to influence. They're there to try and help you figure out the type of input that we're looking for. Okay. Anything on you know, open questions or general feedback? Okay. And then Truman, you had mentioned something a while ago. That there's broad agreement on the problem. The key question will be, what is unique about the solution that will allow it to break through where all the previous attempts have failed? And Drummond, you're also saying you don't see a question focused directly on portable identifiers. And Drummond, feel free to say this out loud. You can do Q plus if you want to put yourself on the queue to speak. So.
Sure, no problem. You get into the IRC mode and you're just typing away.
All right.
No, I think it's a pretty good question list. I was thinking maybe you know, the question of portable identifiers is important enough that it wasn't a direct question about that.
Right.
But other than that, I think it's a comprehensive list.
Okay. Let me go ahead and add a question about portable identifiers then. So, I guess the question is: Do portable identifiers, are portable identifiers a part of the solution? And again, very general question. Does that work for you, Drummond?
Yes, definitely.
Or, you know, conversely, if you're asking that sort of question, Manu, you might want to ask it the other way, too, which is, are server-centric identifiers a problem? Or, and if they are, what specifically about them is a problem?
A problem. Okay. So I'm adding, are server-centric identifiers a problem? If so, what about them are problematic? David Singer is saying, we need to know if W3C is the right place and has the right people and skills. So is W3C the right place to do this work? Does it have the right people and skill sets to succeed? And then Dick said something about portable identifiers. I don't think portable identifiers are required as part of the architecture. Okay, very good input. Mm-hmm. And that's the type of stuff that we hope comes up in the interviews. Dick is saying there's an important problem to be solved. It's unclear what role W3 should play. Okay. All right. So I've added those to the list of questions. To give folks an idea, I'm just going to try and dig up a link that Brad Hill sent. Brad Hill put together a real quick document giving us his thoughts before this call happened. So Brad Hill's feedback so far. And so it's kind of a list of, you know, all of the concerns that he has with what we have currently on that page. You know, questions about the problem statement, general concerns about user-centric architectures, fraud, abuse, revocation, complexity in agent-centric protocols, you know, liability, trust semantics, you know, all that kind of stuff. So he's brought up this is the type of feedback that's super helpful. It'll allow us to make sure that we are actually considering, you know, all the pitfalls with the problem statement as proposed and that kind of stuff. So anyway, if you have time to provide that kind of input, I think that would be super helpful to the group. So written input's good. At some point, we're either going to, you know, we're going to document what you tell us in one way or another. So putting it in a Google Doc is good because we are able to iterate on that. But if not, just showing up on a call like this and just rambling for an hour about everything that you're concerned about with what we're proposing is also good, because we will have someone like, you know, Dave Longley scribing everything that you're saying, and it'll go down in the public record. Okay. Any questions on how you're to provide feedback, or you know, the questions or the type of input that we're looking for? Does everyone feel comfortable that if we were to get on a phone call with you one-on-one, that you would be able to let us know what you think about this initiative in a decent bit of detail? And I'll ask the question more directly, like David Singer, Drummond, you know, do you guys feel, Ted, do you guys feel that you have enough information to go off, read about this, and then come back with some thoughts?
This is Drummond, absolutely. This is excellent background.
Okay. And then David Singer, Ted. Karen, I know you joined us late, but after, I guess, listening to this, reading the minutes again, would you be able to provide some input? David Singer's good so far. Okay. Let me, there's a sign up. So we're hoping to start doing interviews in the last 2 weeks of January, and we're really hoping to get them done as quickly as possible, because we know we're going to have to iterate on some of this stuff. And, you know, the group would like, we just like to make some, keep our rapid progress kind of going. We don't want to get stuck in 6 months of interviews. Let me bring up the questionnaire on when you could be available. Let me get a sharing link. Okay, so if you have been asked to do an interview, please sign up for sometimes that work for you during the last 2 weeks of January. Okay, so I just put a link in IRC to a form where you can let us know what time works for you. And then once you let us know what time works for you, we'll jump on the phone with you. It'll be the same exact dialing number, and hopefully we will not have any of the issues, connectivity issues that we had today with the phone-based dial-in, but folks will be able to dial in here, and it'll be a call very much like this. We're just going to go through, you know, anything that's on your mind, any concerns that you have, and so on and so forth. Okay, so that's it as far as background, what the problem statement and scope is, the key questions that we're going to ask you, and the type of feedback that we expect from you. Any other questions from anyone that's going to be doing an interview? Do you feel well prepared to give us your thoughts on this work?
This is Drummond. I certainly do.
Okay. All right. And then we're going to try and circle back around with Dick Hart and Brad Hill, because they were not able to join the call due to connectivity issues. And I'll also, Karen, are you on the call? I saw you dial in, but I haven't heard your voice yet. I'll try and circle back around with you as well. Okay. Okay. If not, if there are no other questions and everyone's good, please fill out the that form and let us know what time works for you, and we'll start on these interviews as soon as we can. Okay. Thanks, everyone, so much for your time. Again, it's very much appreciated. Talk to each of you over the coming weeks. Thanks and bye.
Thanks a lot, Manny. Appreciate it.